DC, thanks for the time. Hope it was a good weekend. And the piece that you've got on the website right now deals with the fact that Alabama, much heralded, much hyped about a new quarterback, but they are far from being alone in that category in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, that's right. Well, first of all, Chris, I can only keep up with one countdown at a time, so
I hear you.
Bear with me on that. Bear with me. We'll get to basketball after the first one's over. So I've never been good at double-digit addition. So
I have to write it down. Anyway. So don't feel bad.
Good, good. How about half the league is going to have first-year starting quarterbacks, and three teams, Georgia, Missouri, and South Carolina, all have guys who made starts in spot duty for them last year, and they're already decided that they'll be the starters. But still, you know, going into their first year as starting quarterbacks. And then, of course, you got four teams, Alabama included, who, as of this moment, don't know who their quarterback's going to be. And whoever it is going to be a first-year starter. So there's a lot of uncertainty. All of those big names are sort of gone, and it's a clean slate in terms of the stars of this league, mainly because it's pretty rare to have half. It's one thing to have four or five teams. I mean, half the league is now going to trot out a first-year starting quarterback. So, you know, totally coincidental. I mean, it's just one of those things that happen, whether it be the draft, injuries, the way people, you know, the way different teams recruit, you can't predict it. But here they are. It's just one of those transitional years where there's a lot of unknown going into this fall camp, and then of course this season.
You bring up some great numbers when you talk about Greg McElroy, what he did in his first year as a starter and in route to a national championship. Same thing as we know for AJ McCarron. It happened last year in terms of winning the SEC and getting to a title game for Auburn with Marshall at the quarterback slot there. It happens a lot, amazingly, the first-year guy, which to me, DC, speaks more to the fact of how important it is on that offensive front, tackle to tackle. That's something that McElroy had the luxury of. It's what AJ had the luxury of. It's what again, Auburn had the benefit of with a veteran line last year. Whether it's Blake Sims, whether it's Jake Coker, I don't get the feeling that there's the same level of confidence with this offensive line. Could be very good, but we don't know that it will be good for a fact as we did with those others.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's, in my opinion, it's the talent as a whole. And you look back at in the story, I wrote that five of the last nine SEC champions have had first-year quarterbacks. So it's easy to overreact and say, oh, first-year quarterback, don't really have much of a chance. It's happened more than half the time in almost the last decade that a first-year starter leads his team to an SEC title. But I think if you were to go look, the common denominator of guys like DJ Shockley in 2005, a Nick Marshall, a Greg McElroy, and A.J. McCarron, they had some pretty darn good teams. Now, I think maybe the one exception to that is Cam Newton, and he had a good team. Don't get me wrong, they had a very good team. I just mean he probably had more to do single-handedly with a team's success as a first-year starter than any of the other guys. You wouldn't confuse any of those other guys as, you know, franchise, NFL-caliber, big-league quarterbacks. Yeah, they just were efficient with the ball and got the job done, but as it pertains to Alabama, yeah, there's some questions to answer, and I think what's going to be on every Alabama fan's mind when they step into the Georgia Dome this year is the way all the Alabama fans felt when they stepped out of the Georgia Dome last year, which is what's going to happen with this offensive line. I think it caught all of us by surprise how bad they played in that first game. Now, they, of course, rebounded and progressed and had a very good year, but there are some unknowns, absolutely. And, you know, there's communication questions in terms of the receivers, in terms of the offensive line with their quarterback. So questions to answer, absolutely. But I think Alabama fans and really SEC fans as a whole can seek solace in the fact that just because you have a first-year starting quarterback, history proves that that has not really been a detriment to the league, to any team in the league. And really, to Alabama, I mean, all the last two guys did is win national titles. And And you look at their numbers, you mentioned it, I mean, eerily similar. I think in the first four games of McCarron's first year as a quarterback and McElroy's first year as a quarterback, I mean, they're within two completions of each other, 63 of 93 versus 65 of 95. Yards are pretty close. Both had good touchdown-interception ratios. You know, obviously they follow the same roadmap in terms of getting those guys acclimated in those first four games, and it's worked out really, really well for them.
And we're talking to D.C. Reeves, the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. When you look at what Alabama is facing at the beginning of the year, in terms of the schedule itself, you know, I go back to really A.J.'s first year, and there was a weak opponent first, and then they went to State College, and Penn State, you know, at that point was better than they are right now, but they weren't in the heyday of Joe Pa, certainly. But it was a nice win, and yet it kind of solidified him in that starting role. Everybody was pretty much assured at that point that barring some sort of collapse, he was going to be the guy over Phillip Sims. Do you see a similar type deal shaping up for Alabama with the way this schedule works? West Virginia, Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss in week three. Do you think Alabama will be set at quarterback by the time that Florida game kicks off on September 20th?
Yes, I think they'll be set at quarterback, but it would not surprise me if you saw Blake Sims and Jake Coker get time early. And especially because of the skill sets that both of them offer. You know, I think a lot of people, I've heard this discussed a lot, and people talk about it on our message board. You know, maybe you bring Sims in to run read option like he was doing at the end of games last year, and that's just a whole other strategic wrinkle to the offense. Well, Coker could technically do that. He's athletic enough to do that, too. Now, he's not as quick or as agile as a Sims, but my point is, I don't know that you would just bring Sims in to do that. I mean, you could have Sims throw, you could have Coker run read option. I mean, that's the nice thing about both of those guys is they're both pretty versatile. So just because you see Sims, let's say Coker gets the start technically, you know, he's out there for the first snap, just because Sims comes in doesn't guarantee it's just going to be zone read and that's it. I mean, obviously you've heard from Nick Saban this spring, and you didn't see it in the spring game, but he was very confident in Sims' abilities, and, you know, I don't know that it's a guarantee that just because he comes in and they're running the football. I don't know that he'll just be a gadget guy that early. You know, now, if they were to continue to use him down the road, let's say Coker wins the job, would they put Sims in certain packages? Possibly. But I think early on, you know, maybe they won't learn enough in the first 28 days, 30 days until – the first game, maybe they're not going to be confident in a pick for sure until they've seen them when the bullets are flying. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I can see them going a lot of different ways. My money would be on that there will be both guys will be used in some fashion early on, at least in those first couple games. But who knows? I mean, there's so many variables. What if a guy gets injured in fall camp? What if a guy looks really, really good? What if a guy looks really, really bad? All those things are still in play. So, you know, really at this point, nothing would surprise me. They could name a starter in 2 weeks. They could play both guys half and half. There's so many options at their disposal at this point.
Stepping back and looking at the SEC as a whole, as you do in your story, among the things you point out in it is that while Georgia, Missouri, and South Carolina have what will be looked at as first-year starters, at least they've got the luxury of having seen those guys operate under center in a starting role the previous year. You know, it happened late for Georgia with Hudson Mason. Matty Mauk at Missouri kind of in the middle of the year there until James Franklin got himself back. And then in Dylan Thompson, he's a veteran guy. You know, while it may be his first season to go into as a starter, he's been through the wars. He's been through Steve Spurrier and all that can be like for a quarterback. It seems like those three may have a little bit of an upper hand over the others that are dealing with a first-year starter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the fact that you've been in a game and, you know, you take Thompson, he's been in big games. I mean, in the middle of the year, he's, you know, been playing a big game. So, And same with Mock. I mean, he helped them to an SEC East title last year, and they wouldn't have been able to do it without him. So, yeah, absolutely, those guys have a leg up. But, you know, remember, in the case of Alabama, this is not I mean, they should technically, if you just by the letter of the law, they should be better off this year with either Sims or Coker than they would be with a McCarron, you know, who had much less experience before he took the job. Both of these guys have been through three and four years of coaching, meetings, learning a college offense, what's practice like, you know, how to prepare for games, all of that stuff. They're going to be much more battle-tested, despite the fact neither one of them has taken a significant rep, and that's important compared to the guys you mentioned a second ago. But overall, these are guys that are as veteran as you can get for guys who haven't really played. This is not two true freshmen battling it out or somebody who would be completely unfamiliar with this level. So if there's, again, if there's solace in Alabama's situation, it's that whoever wins the job, whoever's taking reps, is not necessarily a wide-eyed freshman who was just dominating high school defensive backs a year ago. These are guys that are going to be much more familiar with the speed of the game, and perhaps that takes them a little less time to get acclimated in terms of just on-the-field game time.
Talking to D.C. Reeves, Tuscaloosa News, TideSports.com, very generous to be on with us each week here on the show. Alabama is somewhere in everybody's top five. It's all a shot in the dark. But most of the people that are doing these rankings are going under the assumption that Jake Coker will be the starting quarterback. And yet, as we've just talked about and have spent a lot of time talking about in the previous weeks and even months, D.C., he's not a proven entity himself. That being said, would Alabama be ranked where they are if Jake Coker was still on Florida State's roster?
That's a good question. I think I'm not sure that Alabama's gotten necessarily a bump from Coker, but yeah, would they have fallen further? Man, that possibly. I mean, but you know, neither guy has taken significant reps, and it's hard to argue that, given everything that's been said about Coker, not only by Jimbo Fisher and teammates and things like that, but what's been said about Coker in terms of NFL prospects and NFL draft analysts, right, and you know how they project them, I think you'd be naive to say that didn't factor in. Now, if Sims is the quarterback, how far do I think they'd fall? I mean, I don't know that if they're a number two, number three team now that they would be number eight with Sims. I don't feel that way. I think there's too much talent around the entire program that, as I said at SEC Media Days, when you're not sure who to pick to win the league, it's always a pretty safe bet to pick Alabama. I think that was the feeling at SEC Media Days, and I imagine that's also the feeling nationally. Hey, if you're going to give me three straight number one recruiting classes and Nick Saban, you could almost make the quarterback as irrelevant as possible in those parameters. That you get Saban, you get three number one recruiting classes, you're going to feel pretty good about them being a top six, top seven, top 18. So will it help with some voters? I think it's going to. It has to because of all the tools and what everybody talks about. But I think there is a basement, a very high basement, for Alabama, no matter who's at quarterback, given the talent that they've stockpiled over the last few years.
I agree with you in both areas, because I'm with you. To me, right now, with where Nick Saban has the program, if you're talking about picking the SEC champion, you put Alabama there, and then you try to figure out why you would take them away from that. You know, who can you say right now is going to be better, but you're going to start your conversation there because of what he's built. And as far as the quarterback slide, I've also said ever since it became official that they got Coker, whether or not he's the starter, D.C., to me, I'm not going to say it's irrelevant, but the position has gotten better simply because, let's say he is your starter, well, your backup is a guy who's in your program for 5 years. If it's Blake Sims that wins the job, your backup is Jake Coker, who is not a rookie in a college camp and has worked under similar type system by working for the last 2-3 years with Jimbo Fisher. It's made it better regardless of which one is the starter and which one's the backup.
Yeah, well, I agree with you in terms of it, the way you explained that a second ago about you got to put Alabama there by default and prove to me otherwise who should be ahead. Well, let's talk about nationally. Right now, if we're talking about the top five teams, top six teams, again, if I were voting, the quarterback part is a little bit is almost irrelevant because I'm going to say, okay, here's where I expect Alabama to be, which is near the very top of this poll. How many teams can prove to me right now on paper, whatever it is, that they should be ranked? Well, Florida State is one. I mean, obviously, they won the national title. They bring back the Heisman Trophy winner. I feel like Florida State and Alabama are far and away the most talented rosters in college football, and it's not close, in my opinion. 1 through 85, I think those two teams are the furthest up. But after that, who can you put ahead of Alabama unequivocally? Now, I'm not suggesting they should be number two. All I'm saying is, to say that they're not a top five team, well, I'm going to struggle to sit around here and name four teams that clearly are going to be better than Alabama this year. Who knows what will happen? They could have a lot of issues at quarterback, and they could lose a couple games because of it. But as we sit today, with all the talent that they have and Nick Saban coaching their team, I mean, can you think of four teams that should be ahead of them? I'm struggling to do that no matter who the quarterback is. So that's the barometer that's been set by Nick Saban winning national championships and recruiting the way he does is you say, hey, year in, year out, Alabama's going to be here. Who can be above them going into the season? And as of right, the only team clearly that should be ranked ahead of Alabama, in my opinion, is Florida State.
Hallelujah. They report. And by the time we visit again, hopefully next week, D.C., good grief, you'll actually have a practice or two with this team under the belt.
How about that? Yeah, I know. Finally, here, it moves quick. Hey, SEC media days, and then, you sort of have a couple weeks lull, but not really as you get ready for fall camp. An exciting fall camp. I mean, a lot of intriguing storylines. We talked about quarterback a lot today, but you've got an offense that's being put in, and you've got a running back rotation that will be interesting to see how that's handled. You've got corner, situations at defensive back, especially at corner. How is that going to shake out? So it's not every year you have that, especially if you come off a national championship or something like that, where a lot of these questions are already answered for you. I think, more than average, a lot of intrigue going to this first week of camp as we get a glimpse, albeit an extremely small glimpse, of practice as it gets going.